My name is Ron, and I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I am a recovering alcoholic and compulsive gambler. Hey, everybody. Hey. Where was I? I have not had a drink since April 7th, 1988. And for that, man. For that, I am eternally grateful to Jesus Christ, AA, CR, my sponsor, all my accountability partners, and last but certainly not the least, my loving and always supportive wife. I was born here in Portland to loving Christian parents. We lived in southeast Portland, right off of Sunnyside Road, in a place called Happy Valley, which was right behind a place called Pleasant Valley. With a beginning like that, where did it all go wrong? I don't know. When I was 4, we moved to Lake Oswego. I had one older brother and one younger brother. We attended church every Sunday morning, most Sunday nights, and some Wednesday night prayer meetings. Way too much church for me at the time. My parents never drank liquor, smoked, gambled, cussed, danced, or watched a movie other than Walt Disney. That was their grading system back then. Walt Disney, okay. Everything else, no way. That was back when Disney movies were all uber innocent. As a child, it seemed like I never fit in. My dad and older brother were two peas in a pod because they were both mechanical and on the same page. I don't know what I was and always felt starved for attention. It seemed like I was to be seen and not heard. So I would joke and tease and make faces and act goofy at the dinner table when everyone was grouped together. If I could get my dad to laugh or even get just a single guffaw from him, I was successful, even at the risk of going too far and being scolded. I also would pick on my brothers mercilessly away from the dinner table, only in a negative way. I also had a bad temper. If I didn't get my way, I would scream and yell and lie on the ground and kick and pound the floor with my fists. My dad was a strict disciplinarian who believed in a tough spanking. Through my antics, I would find myself at the wrong end of that strap many times. After some of those spankings, I can remember laying in my bed, seething with hate at my father. So I had this real fear, hate, love, and crave his attention thing going on. There just had to be more to life than all of this, and I wasn't buying into all the hellfire and brimstone sermons I had to sweat out on Sunday mornings. And it seemed like all the so-called bad people and non-Christians were having all the fun. When I was 14 years old, I started rebelling against my dad's strict control and disciplines and the church and this Puritan lifestyle. That's the same age that I quit going to church with the family and had my first drink of alcohol and started to go to the dog races with this neighbor and on and on. I was going to break out and break away from what I considered such a loser mentality. Well, as I was to learn down the road and on many more occasions, it was me and my small-mindedness that was the real loser, not them. I never had a lot of girlfriends in high school. I was so very shy, awkward, and self-conscious when sober. I didn't seem to fit here either or have anything I was good at or interested in with low self-esteem. Sometimes I just felt like a big blob of breathing flesh with no reason or purpose to even exist. But give me a few drinks and, hey baby, you want to dance? I was such a Jekyll and Hyde. I really drank to just get away from myself. But you always sober up and there you are again. I met someone in my early teens who somehow broke through my massive glass barrier and made contact. We would be together and then break up continuously. When I graduated high school, I felt freedom to finally live life the way I wanted. Freedom from the bondage of school and parents, and I am going to enjoy it. Very shortly after that declaration, someone got pregnant. My on-again, off-again was on-again. I was 18. We got married, got an apartment, and started family life. We were still kids ourselves, without a clue. I felt proud to take responsibility for my child, but yet deep down, I felt resentment, anger, and trapped just when I was about to be free for the first time in my life. I was only 18. Everyone drank where I worked, and I was one of the guys. We all went to the tavern after work, and I got served right along with everyone else. Wow, I'm in heaven. When my daughter was born, I was so hungover and shaky that I missed almost the whole day of her birth. But I certainly was well enough by that evening to make the third dog race at Multnomah Kennel Club. That's the way my family started. Even with my early escapades, I saved money to buy a house and eventually sell that house and buy a better house. For some reason, after we got into our second house, my drinking and gambling went into high gear. It was all about me. I was totally self-absorbed and self-centered with my drinking and gambling and started going to massage parlors and strip clubs. I lost serious money now in high-stakes poker games. I lost precious time and money that should have been devoted to my family. The household and family would go without essentials at times just because of my antics, and I never even thought about it. Sometimes I would even bring the game over to my house and bounce my daughter on my knee at 3 a.m. while playing cards. I thought that was being a devoted father. Later, I would punch holes in the sheetrock walls of our home with my fists in a fit of rage over my self-loathing, hatred, and frustration at myself and life. We finally separated and eventually divorced. I took on a little studio apartment. I thought I was finally free and could begin to live life the way I wanted. I started a weekend poker game at my apartment. I ended up losing about $3,500 on opening night. Game over. I was so depressed the next week, I just laid in bed with the covers over my face. Boy, I was sure having fun in my newfound freedom. I ended up moving back in with my parents. I started blacking out, drinking. One night I got my face kicked in and bloodied and came to with no memory of any of it. I started getting drunk driving tickets with nights in jail, got robbed and carjacked in North Portland, and on and on. My long-missed freedom was just getting funner and funner. So what do you do when your life is going down the toilet and getting worse? You move to Las Vegas. That's what. I quit my job, left home, family, and everything else that is sacred, and headed for Vegas for a whole new start. I got a job at the MGM Grand in the poker room of all places. I loved Vegas. I'd probably still be there if I hadn't morphed into a chronic alcoholic, compulsive gambler, whoremonger, degenerate. Satan was sifting me like wheat. Why is it everything that I am naturally attracted to in life leads to insanity? I lasted almost a year in Vegas. Mercifully, I got fired at the MGM. I got fired and actually told, "Don't ever come back. You will never work in this town again." Which just doesn't read very well on the old resume, if you know what I mean. I came home feeling like a dejected loser, and rightfully so. But hopefully this would be the impetus to salvation and recovery. My ex-wife had helped me out of Vegas. She took me to church where she had been attending while I was away. I went forward and gave my life to Christ at their altar call. I meant business. We committed to remarry and make things right and a few months later we did remarry. My daughter was around 9 or 10 years old now, and I was pushing 30. Things were great for a while, but you don't wreak 10 years of havoc without consequences. My daughter was starting her own rebellion and acting out, and the rigors of life, plus some of my unresolved issues, were taking their toll. Alcohol is a subtle foe, and it is very patient. I lasted 7 months with my newfound resolve and Christian beginnings, but the pressures grew, and I knew exactly where to run for cover. This started an 8-year run of periodic drinking and gambling, then bouts of sobriety and recovery. It came to seem to me that this was just the way I was going to have to play out the hand that I was dealt. A friend took me to my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. CR had not been founded as of yet, but most of the positive tenets of CR were derived from AA. John Baker, the founder of CR, got sober in AA. He adopted the same 12 steps and spiritual ideals from AA into a Christ-based recovery program called Celebrate Recovery. What a mix now I had of AA, GA, Gamblers Anonymous, church, drinking, and gambling. That's funny, huh? Okay. My life's going to crap and you're laughing. Looking back now, I realize, even through my maudlin lifestyle for 8 years, that God was working in my life after I asked Him into my heart. I never returned to sexual infidelities after we remarried. My drinking and gambling never got to the level as before. I did have a God consciousness, attended church, and was seeking to live right. For some reason, it just didn't happen on my timetable. I'm not sure why or how, but on April 5th, 1988, which was one day from my 38th birthday, I was back in the drinking mode of life, so I moved all my appointments around so I could go out the night of the 5th and celebrate right into my birthday of the 6th. I went out and got into an all-night poker game. I eventually busted out. They had a back room where I went and just laid on the bed. Someone offered me drugs and or liquor. I had no desire for the drug or more liquor. I had some sort of moment of clarity, some sort of epiphany. An old school chum was at the game. He offered to loan me money to get back into the game. Oh, Satan was alive and well. This guy never had done this before that I ever remembered. But I refused him. I saw the futility in it all. What a joke. He couldn't believe it, nor could I. I finally left and drove home as the sun was just coming up to create the new day, my 38th birthday, as a matter of fact. I got home and was moody and irritable. My wife had bought me a birthday present, which I saw sitting on the couch. I picked it up and threw it against the wall. I felt like a man possessed, and maybe I was. I just felt this overwhelming self-loathing and anger swell from within. Maybe I saw that I did not deserve her caring enough to buy me a gift when I knew I had been such a jerk. Who knows? I started back to AA meetings again. I went to a meeting where they loaned out tapes of AA speakers. I found a tape there of a funny guy from Los Angeles that I had heard before. I listened to the tape and really related, and I heard the message of recovery. Then I had this crazy idea of asking this guy to be my sponsor. I had sponsors in AA before. I was so desperate. So I actually wrote a letter to this guy and sent it to the address on the tape. I got a letter back in the mail, and I was afraid to open it. I felt like an idiot now after a few days had passed, thinking that no one would sponsor someone long distance like this. I was sure it would be a rejection letter. I thought I really overreacted on this. Yeah, right. Denial is huge. My whole life is being destroyed by alcohol, and yet I'm thinking I overreacted. I finally opened the letter that said he sponsors many people long distance and told me how we would proceed. Now I'm thinking, what the heck have I got myself into this time? Little did I know at the time that this was all the loving hand of God working things out in my life His way and not my way. Here was the real kicker. Unlike other sponsors I had, this guy gave me some orders. I had to write a letter once a week and call on a regular basis. I was doing well and had acquired 6 months of sobriety. But eventually the old daily grind of life and my emotions wore me down, and I needed my drink and my relief. Now we are told in AA, just like CR, to call our sponsor or accountability partner before we drink. Normally I wouldn't call because I don't want to be talked out of it. Or I'm not used to calling or having much contact, so why start now? But since I'd been calling on a regular basis and was used to it, and we had relationship, I felt I owed him the call without thinking about it much. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this guy yelled and screamed at me and told me to get off my self-pity pot and self-absorption and get my rear end to a meeting and talk with a newcomer and try to help someone else and forget about myself and my pathetic pity party. I can't repeat his actual words here, but you get the idea. Then he just hung up on me. I was incensed. He actually made me so upset that I vowed to do what he asked. So when his stupid advice didn't work, when I have my drink later, I can say I have done everything this so-called recovery guru had asked me to do and prove he was just one more recovery hype that doesn't work. But he tricked me. I went and talked with a new man at a meeting, and I did not need that drink after all. Wow. What a little miracle I had found, something I could do in my desperate times to stop the drinking cravings and resumed debauchery. This worked over and over for me in the early days. Don't ever discount the fellowship and talking with others around here. That man that I thought was an idiot, then I felt was a genius. Obviously, this isn't the end all of recovery, but it kept me sober when I desperately needed to stop from returning to my vomit. This kept me here and in my right mind so I could continue and finish all of the steps and not be endlessly starting over full of remorse and guilt all the time. Continuous sober time long enough for the steps and healing process to rid me of the things that I drank over, to clean my spirit and soul, and then refill them with God's plans and God's wisdom. I thank God that He got me to the right person who knew how to break through my sick emotions and keep me continuously on that Damascus road of recovery and healing and a right relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I really started my recovery here where I was taught the miracle of others and giving of self for others. I started making amends to my wife, to respect and take care of my home and family, to think of others and get my self-centered, self-absorbed head out of my backside. I went to and got involved and helped in a lot of AA meetings. I got accountability partners, friends, peers, and had fellowship with other AA members. I would go to coffee after meetings, which would be like our solid rock time here. In the beginning, I resisted and didn't see value in the coffee and social time, plus other things I was told to do. I was told to do it anyway, and was reminded that all the things that I had previously done and thought were important had led me to the bottom of a snake pit. I was also reminded by my sponsor that he had 25 successful years of sobriety, and I couldn't put 6 months together, so it might be wise to take his direction instead of my own. I was shown the importance of daily structure in my life, and although that structure can become somewhat monotonous, it sure beats the heck out of jail, hands down. I became a worker among workers and not the big shot. I learned that my God and my recovery came first, not the job or the marriage or the kids or anything else, because without my God and recovery, I would lose all the rest of it anyway. Attend meetings every week, not just hit or miss. Help clean up and or set up the meeting. Be a part of. Someone has to do the work of making this all available for the new people every week. I became conscious of all these types of things. These are a lot of the actions and ideals I was taught early on in AA, and they are the same actions and ideals for me now in CR. I finally found recovery and started doing and being a part of my own recovery and haven't found it necessary to take a drink since. About 6 years ago, I got involved in CR here. It was a real draw to me when I discovered CR practiced the same 12 steps and ideals that had been working for me in AA, but CR also emphasized Jesus Christ as our higher power. I found I related here to people in this recovery just like I related to other alcoholics in AA. I also noted through that whole dynamic that there was a transparency and openness here in CR with people that I had never come across in church-type settings before. Maybe it's just me, I don't know, but it was just so awesome to me and refreshing to find people with all the issues that we have around here sharing and fellowshipping about ourselves without getting that wide-eyed look you can get if you get a little too honest, open, or truthful about yourself in other church social settings or Bible studies. I really felt I belonged and hopefully had something to give back with my years of alcohol recovery. When I first got to CR, I was actually at a low point in my life and experiencing financial problems, and our marriage was suffering far from where it had been earlier in sobriety, in early sobriety. I think largely because I was sinking back into self and self-pity over our finances, along with envy and jealousy of others that were doing well. I got involved right away in a step study group, as I knew if I gave myself much time to mull it over, I probably would find all kinds of excuses to not do it. One of which was that I had gone through the steps a few times already, and what could these amateurs teach me anyway? Maybe I was fighting some pride in there also. The step study turned out to be so awesome. I had never done the steps in a group-type setting, and it turned out to be just the thing I needed in my life at that time. It really helped me bond very closely with a whole new group of Christian men who were struggling with their own demons. I got accountability partners and a great CR sponsor. It helped me start to really feel a part of this whole ministry. I just gained so much more than I would have gotten from just attending the Wednesday night meeting. I helped clean up the kitchen and pick up chairs on Wednesday nights for a long time around here, just practicing things I learned way back in early recovery. I sponsor men here when they have asked. Never turned down a recovery request. I've tried to be available also on an accountability partner and around to talk or just be there for someone. Plenty of people around here have been there for me. I've taken all the leadership training classes here that have been offered, just doing the next thing on the list around here that would come up. I eventually worked into a leadership role and now am on the team where hopefully I help contribute to making this CR open and welcome to newcomers and helpful at providing good teaching and purposeful and meaningful lessons and activities that help all of us on our continuing recoveries and our walk with God, with Jesus Christ, and attentive to our Holy Spirit. I know I always feel a little different here in giving my testimony because I got sober through AA years before CR was founded. But I don't see that much difference between the two and could as easy be saying CR in all the past wherever I mentioned AA. I don't know that everyone agrees with me on that, but that's my 26 years of sober recovery experience talking in exactly the way it is for me. In looking back over my life at this point, I see three crucial points of recovery from my self-centered, debauched life. First, my wife helping me return from Vegas, getting me to church, and sticking with me. Then, me asking Jesus into my heart. Although things didn't work out as quickly as I would have hoped, it was a real beginning to change. Second, 8 years later, finding that sponsor that was so key in getting me to stop drinking and allowing the spiritual steps and principles of AA or CR to take over in my life and my walk with God. And third, years later, to get involved in CR and marry my recovery life with my Christian walk. This has enhanced my Christian life and Christian walk more than you will ever know. Thank you all so very much for being a part of my recovery. I love all of you. Be blessed.